Just like with the world of wine and coffee, there is a huge variety of what is available to us. Each of them seems like there's a world of its own of things to learn and artisans who create it and companies that make them. And oh my goodness, there is so much to taste and learn and to know. Over the past few years, I have learned quite a bit about the world of coffee and the world of wine. And even as a chocolate fanatic, I came to realize recently that there was still a whole lot that I didn't know. One thing I did know is that I have moved away from mass-produced chocolate, more to craft and artisan-made varieties, but I didn't really know how to explain why. Why I enjoyed these types of chocolates so much more, and what made them different. So I wanted to bring on our new friend, Nicole Patel, who is the owner and chocolatier at Delicia, because she, just like a sommelier in the world of wine, she is leading in the area of chocolate. And oh my word, did this turn into a drool-worthy and such an interesting conversation. So if you are someone that loves chocolate, or even if you are like Nicole, who actually can't even eat it, this conversation is for you. And if you are not familiar with our new friend Nicole or the incredible chocolate brand Delicia, here is all you need to know before our conversation kicks off. Nicole Patel, a renowned chocolatier and proprietor of Delicia Chocolatier, has been named a 2023's Best Chocolatier in the Americas with the highest honor, a 6-star award. Grandmaster Chocolatier. Her most recent accolades comprise over 88 awards in total. Among them are 20 gold medals, 22 silver medals, and she has demonstrated unmatched mastery in spicy chocolate, hot chocolate, ruby chocolate, white chocolate, and I learned from this conversation as well, gold chocolate. Her journey began in 2006 when she made a batch of homemade chocolate truffles as a last-minute holiday gift while pregnant with her first son. Friends and family were delighted by her creations, and Nicole continued to make chocolate treats to relieve stress from her corporate engineering job. In 2008, the serendipitous trip to Texas wine country led Nicole to become the first person in Texas to make chocolate truffles using local wines. Thanks to her dedication and self-taught skills, Delicia Chocolatier quickly rose to become one of the best chocolatiers in America. Nicole is a proud graduate of Texas A&M University, where she earned both a Bachelor of Science and Master of Engineering degree in Industrial Engineering, specializing in quality control, statistics, and process efficiency. After graduation, she worked for a Fortune 100 technology company in Austin, Texas, as an expert in supply chain and business process improvement. Nicole continued to advance her career and received her Six Sigma Master Black Belt certification. Oh my goodness, that's so fun to know about her. And as a leader of the corporate Six Sigma program and director of quality, Nicole was responsible for program development and training for privately held technology company in Austin until the summer of 2009. Guys, this conversation is one that, like I said before, is definitely going to spark your interest if you could consider yourself a lover of all things chocolate. But also, I just want to invite you to learn more about their brand, even beyond this conversation, because just like we did with charcuterie and learning about styling and tasting and all of those things, they host similar workshops for the world of chocolate. I recently attended one of their tastings, a tea and chocolate tasting, and Nicole was so kind, such an incredible host in this virtual platform. The class was so just like captivating and interesting and delicious, and I know that you would enjoy participating in them too. Hi, I'm Katie, a hospitality educator and the host of Making Room by Gather podcast. I am set to see our communities get back to the table through hospitality, but it wasn't always this way. My husband and I moved to Thailand, and through it, I experienced some loneliness. And with it, I was given a choice to sit back and accept it or to do something about it. And for me, that meant two things: that I needed the healing to learn how to accept an invitation and the confidence to know how to extend one. Through this process, I developed some of the richest and deepest relationships of my life. Through Making Room by Gather, you will hear conversations from myself, and experts in the areas of food, design, and relationships. You see, there are countless things trying to keep us from the table. But can I tell you something? Take a seat because you are ready. You are capable. You are a good host. This Father's Day, treat the dads you know to the ultimate grilling experience with Good Ranchers. Finding the right gift is hard, but they've got you covered with the finest high-quality meats that will make any dad's taste buds sing. He'll be firing up the grill and sinking his teeth into tender steaks, juicy burgers, and succulent chicken sourced from local farms across the country. Their commitment to quality means that you are getting 100% American-raised meat, ensuring that every bite is full of authentic, mouth-watering taste that every dad craves. Plus, for a limited time, save $30 on your box when you use my code GATHER. Whether your dad likes to grill for the family, host a backyard cookout, or just loves to eat meat, Good Ranchers has the gift to put a smile on his face and a big steak on his grill. Head on over to goodranchers.com today and shop their Father's Day deals and bundles. Be sure to use my code GATHER when you check out for $30 off your gift of American meat at goodranchers.com. Give a dad you know American meat delivered. To start off, I want to talk about your journey to chocolate. And this is such a fun question for me because of all the conversations we've had about food on the show, we have never had one on chocolate. So I would imagine most of us listening would call ourselves chocolate enthusiasts or addicts. However, how did your love for chocolate develop and turn into?
I am actually an engineer by degree. Have a master's in engineering. So food and cooking was just a stress relief for me. I was the one that would, when I was supposed to be studying for finals in college, bake 25 dozen of cookies and give them away to all my friends. So chocolate was, I guess, just that next natural progression through cooking. You know, my husband comes from an Indian family. I come from an Italian family. So food is like of the utmost important.
So when my husband came home and asked for help finding holiday gifts for his employees, I immediately thought of some of the cooking shows I had been watching on TV about homemade chocolates. And I thought, I can do that. This seems so incredibly easy. And it was not. I found that chocolate is very temperamental. If you don't have the right temperature, if it's too humid out, if it's raining, chocolates won't set. Much like if you're familiar with making caramels or marshmallows, the same thing. And so it became a challenge. And I think that really played to my engineering mindset. Just, you know, what recipes can I make? How can I tweak this to make it even better? And before I knew it, I was always in the kitchen making chocolates. And we decided that we would launch Delicia Chocolatier a few years later.
So I'm curious, what kind of chocolates were you making? I mean, are we talking truffles, bars? What were you making?
The absolute ugliest hand-rolled truffles you've probably ever seen. And you know, I don't even have a picture of them.
Oh my gosh.
I wish I did. You know, 8 months pregnant, I didn't know it at the time. Our oldest was born 4 days later. So I was obviously nesting and had no idea that's why I had this burst of energy. But didn't even think of it. Hideous packaging from the local craft store and very ugly hand-rolled truffles in the flavors of peanut butter, hazelnut, and mint.
I mean, hey, it launched into something, right?
So it did. And everybody loved them and kept asking for them. So, you know, we definitely were on a right path.
It's funny hearing you say that. So the very, very early start of my like business journey was we were living in Thailand and I was selling granola bars to the foreign community there. And I remember I started offering 4 different flavors and I would just put them all in one box and people are like, what flavor is which? And I'm like, oops, didn't think about that.
Right.
Smell it and take a guess. So I get
it. The psychology of the consumer is definitely interesting, and little things that we take for granted. You know, you're like, wow, that's the simplest thing. Why didn't I even think of that or pay attention to that?
And it's so amazing to hear you say the word ugly. I didn't say that. You said it. So I can
I
use it. because your chocolates right now are like literal works of art.
Well, thank you.
They're
appreciate
stunning.
That.
Yeah. So I'm excited to hear the evolution.
Yeah. So the first about 4 or 5 months, they were the very ugly hand-rolled truffles. And then we were in Europe and we had gone to some high-end artisan truffle shops there. And we saw the molded with the colored design tops. And my husband was like, whatever that costs, I don't care. Make it look like that. And so
wow.
that was the evolution. And I remember we bought a little melter that held about 4 pounds of chocolate. He's like, you'll never need more of that. And we did one Valentine's Day, our very first Valentine's Day. And on the way back from this event at a winery in the Hill Country, he was like, buy the bigger one. And so now we have one that holds about 40 pounds of chocolate. So.
Wow. If this is an industry secret, you don't have to share it. What is the machine that prints it on? Like, is it a food specific, like a printer?
It is food specific. So this is, we don't use a printer. We have a vendor that makes the designs for us. So that's something that I wouldn't want to share.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't want you to either. Yeah. I just didn't know. I'm like picturing with all these cool printers that people are coming out with. I'm like, is there some cool chocolate printer that.
So I would describe the designs on the top of the truffles as like screen printing.
Okay.
So similar to screen printing on the t-shirt, you know, to make a plate, they dip it in ink and stamp it on fabric. Well, in this case, the plate is made. You then dip it in white chocolate or cocoa butter, and then we get them in sheets that we can put in our mold. So once the chocolate sets, the designs are left behind, and it allows us to do custom logos and monograms and custom designs on the top of all of our truffles.
It's so unique. It's such a unique factor, which I think the market right now really appreciates. You know,
right,
you
guys exactly.
You experienced a huge career shift, as you quickly alluded to, from a very successful career, I think, in engineering, right?
Yes, absolutely.
To your career as a chocolatier. As you made this shift, what was your family's response, the community's response? Did you get pushback? Did people think you were crazy? What did this look like? Because that's huge. That's a huge shift.
The evolution for Delicia Chocolatier, I mean, when we launched in October of 2008, so this coming October will be our 15-year anniversary. Can't believe it's been that long. You know, it was meant to be small. The intent was a party here, a wedding there, like one or two things a month just to kind of keep me in the kitchen and enjoying doing chocolates and have a place for all of this chocolate I was making to be used because we could only consume so much. And it just evolved from there. I mean, before we knew it, our very first client was a top winery in the state. Our second customer was a top barbecue place in the state. And as the food industry was growing in Austin, Texas, you know, we were growing as well, which was really exciting. And I like to say those early days, the business kind of took on a mind of its own. It pulled me in amazing and unexpected avenues that I probably would have never thought of had I had a plan, but had I followed that plan to a T. And I think that's what's exciting about having a small business. I worked as an engineer up until about 5 years ago. So for first 12 years in business, I was juggling both and then two little kids. So the evolution for us was kind of natural. You know, of course, there's always ups and downs and challenges. Our biggest thing is when we were growing was what we thought was going to be our only economic downturn that as a small business we would have to live through, the 2008-2009 financial crisis.
Wow.
When banks weren't loaning money, told us to call back once we were bigger, and it's kind of a catch-22. You can't grow if you don't have money. And so we made the decision to invest in ourselves, which is why I continued working for so long, because every penny I made as an engineer, I just invested back into the business to grow. From a family standpoint, huge support. I mean, I don't think you can do it and be successful without that. You know, my kids are up there helping us on the weekends, even if it's just taking out the trash. You know, they're inspiration for a lot of the flavors that you see that we've created. My husband helps out, especially around Christmas time and the holidays when we have to pack up a lot of orders. My parents came out of retirement to help us work, especially through COVID. They moved to Austin so that they could be here on a regular basis and help out. And my brother actually did all of our branding for us and designed our entire culinary space. So from a family standpoint, lots of support. You know, the big thing for me as an engineer, I loved being an engineer. I loved who I was working with and the type of work I was doing, focusing in quality and customer satisfaction. But being in the tech industry, the biggest pushback came from my engineering career in the standpoint of, as I was growing my family, as we were having additional children, you know, as a mom in the working place, there are some challenges and some struggles with that. And so I found that corporate America wasn't always as open and inviting to that flexibility that provided. And so over time, you know, I found myself without a job. So that transition actually was kind of forced upon me, which looking back, hindsight's always 20/20. I mean, that was the push. That was that nudge that I needed to just kind of go out on my own. I remember talking to my husband and telling him that I no longer had a full-time engineering job. And I said, you know what? I want to get through one holiday season without trying to juggle something else and just see what happens. And I said, and then we can talk about it in March after we get through Valentine's Day. I promise we'll have the conversation. And we have yet to have that conversation. And it's been about 4 or 5 years.
So, amazing. Yes. Amazing.
So, it was a blessing in hindsight that just kind of pushed me along to make Delicia my main focus.
I actually love knowing all of that and love, like, I think before my impression just very quickly was that you left one, entered the other, and it was just like, boom, boom, like AB, you know, but it was much more complex than that. And I think the reason that I ask and the reason that I love that you gave so much of that is because when people know your story, they fall more in love with the brand, right?
Right.
And people love when like dreams become a reality. And I know I love that too. I was thinking though, like there's a lot of careers where people leave to start small businesses. I don't think engineering is one that I've heard, right? Like people don't typically leave engineering. I know it wasn't a choice necessarily, but I could see why it wasn't encouraged. Right. You know of anyone that's like left to start a small business?
No one comes to mind. I've heard a lot of lawyers here in Austin, a lot of doctors that have left to start wineries and breweries. Engineering, you know, it's a good paycheck.
Of course.
I'll be honest, you know, and that paycheck was missed for a couple years.
I can imagine.
But I think engineering also gives you a wonderful foundation to launch from, to do almost anything. You learn how to problem solve and how to think through things, you know, the importance of processes and quality. And that's, I probably use more of my engineering principles today, the way I want to, in Delicia than I ever did in my engineering jobs.
Do you ever talk to engineers, like in any kind of public speaking platform or about this?
I haven't actually. That would be interesting. I'm sure a lot of them think I'm crazy that, well, now she just plays with chocolate all day.
If you're successful, hey, or you know what, success looks like a lot of different things, of course. But if you're going after your dreams, I mean, as you're saying that, I'm just thinking a lot of them might be refreshed to hear it, that there's a different way.
Right, exactly.
So as a bunch of chocolate lovers, I think that there is a spectrum a range when we look at chocolate, similar to wine. This comparison might help people and might help lead the conversation. So for wine, there's like $3 Chuck at Trader Joe's and there's a bottle of like $50 plus. And we've had sommeliers on the show to help us like understand the difference and what to know about the variety. I would love to know the differences in chocolate. And if you're comfortable about, if you feel like you could talk to this, like what are the main difference between, I don't want to highlight a specific brand necessarily, but like inexpensive s'mores chocolate to like craft chocolate, take it whatever direction you want to go.
So yes, you're absolutely correct. There is a range of chocolate and you can see that from, you know, what I like to call the 99 cent candy bar at the checkout counter to artisan handcrafted truffles like we make. And there's a very big difference both in price and quality. We host virtual tastings. And so I always tell people, you know, a really easy way to tell the quality of your chocolate without even having to look on the back and read the label is to listen to the sound it makes as you take a bite. If you hear a snap or if you take your bar and you break it and it makes a nice snap sound, that's probably going to be a much higher quality chocolate because it's going to have a lot more of cacao in it, a lot more of the bean in there. Mm-hmm. If you have a chocolate bar, like you were referring to the s'mores chocolate, and you bend it and it's kind of malleable or it almost has like that Play-Doh-y type texture, you can mold it into something. That is not high quality chocolate. And the reason for that is that it's primarily wax. The FDA defines or says that anything can be labeled chocolate as long as it has at least 10% cacao in it, which means that a lot of your chocolate on the market is primarily wax, additives, preservatives, and just a little tiny bit of actual cacao bean in it. So that listen, that snap sound that the chocolate's going to make is going to give you that nice indication of the quality of your chocolate. Now, reading the labels on the back of your chocolate, if it starts with words you don't recognize, like 20 syllable words that you can't pronounce, that's going to be a poor quality chocolate. Your chocolate bars and chocolate boxes should start with words like milk chocolate and dark chocolate and things that you recognize.
Horrifying. That's horrifying. Yes. Random, just because I know we have a lot of people that watch that are interested in like healthier alternatives and healthy living and things like that. Do you know what that kind of wax is doing to us? Do you have any idea?
I do not know the answer to that. All I can say is it can't be good.
No.
It can't be healthy for us. You know, preservatives and additives aren't healthy to start with. But I don't know the specifics to.
No, and you don't need to because you don't use it. You use the good stuff. But for everyone listening, I think I kind of want to find out because I think sometimes that's almost enough for us to like change our behavior, change the way we shop, and to be able to pick a higher quality.
Right.
I
also have another comparison to wine.
Please. Yeah.
So there is a range of chocolate as well. There's white, milk, and dark, which everyone probably knows about. There's also ruby chocolate and gold chocolate. So there's actually five types of chocolate out there on the market. We are the first in the US to make chocolates with ruby. And we are the first in the world to make chocolates with gold. So ruby chocolate is unfermented and unroasted cacao beans. And so it has a natural pink color to it. And it maintains its tart fruit flavor profile. So we like to explain the flavor as sweetened raspberry milk. And I wanted to highlight this because the wine pairing collection that we sent to you, the truffle in the middle with the Merlot.
That my husband ate.
Yes.
Yes.
That is made with ruby chocolate.
Okay.
And so that is, it's a unlike any other chocolate you've probably ever tasted. We find that it has the creaminess and kind of the sweetness level that we're familiar of with milk chocolate, but it just has this nice tart flavor profile. And then gold chocolate followed right behind that. It was overshadowed by the pandemic. It actually hit the US market in February, March of 2020. So no one heard about it, but it is made from caramelizing the sugars and the milk fats in the chocolate. And so it is a solid chocolate that tastes like salted caramel and buttered toffee all in one. And it is to die for.
I love knowing that. Because, you know, just I think first, you know, I'm a baker, I'm in the kitchen a lot, I do a lot with like food dyes. I was like, oh, it's just like dyed pink. But it's so incredible to know that. That's like such a unique factor. And again, so are there, we don't have to include this if you don't want, but are there no dyes in it?
There's no dyes in it. So cacao beans are actually kind of a pinkish tinge to it.
Yeah.
And so they turn the dark brown color that we recognize as chocolate once they're roasted. But if you skip that step and you skip fermentation, then that natural color is maintained.
So another thing for my listeners that love natural living, no dyes in the pink chocolate.
Right. Exactly.
That's so unique. Have you heard feedback? Are you still educating the market? What stage are you at? Like, are people fully bought in?
So with ruby chocolate, thanks to the Great British Baking Show, because it ever so often shows up as a secret ingredient, people are familiar with ruby chocolate, have like heard of it, but haven't necessarily tasted it. So I think it depends on who we're talking to. Some are just being introduced to it. Others are familiar with it or have done a lot of tastings with us and know what it is and love it. We have a Ruby collection actually that we carry around on our website. Gold chocolate is one that people have never heard of before. And so we're slowly educating about that in some of our products we're releasing.
I'm happy to taste it and help you educate. I feel like that's one that I'd be like all in. Right, I mean, all of them, but
I bring home samples every so often to try for my husband and my kids to try. And the gold chocolate I had to like take away from them because it's like, I need to play with this and like see what it does. I don't need you guys to consume it all. So it's definitely a winner.
Oh, I love it. Love it. So when you guys sent me that box of chocolate, there was a list of instructions on the proper storage, which was so interesting to me. I have never seen this come with chocolate, which it probably should.
Right.
Okay. So it just was interesting to me. I want to learn more. How should we be storing our chocolate and why does it matter?
Great question. Storing chocolate really comes down to the proper way to indulge and eat your chocolate as well. We hear so often that people tell us, oh, I put it in the fridge and eat it cold and it tastes like nothing, or I freeze my chocolate. And what that does is it ruins your palate. Your palate can't taste things or experience flavors if they're too hot or too cold. So that's the primary reason, is that you really want your chocolates when you're consuming to be at room temperature, so that you can understand and distinguish all of the unique and complex flavors. And with flavors as complex as we often create at Delicia, you know, there's stages to them. You might experience a little bit of the, you know, we have Father's Day coming up. So we have a cigar truffle. You get a little bit of the tingle of the tobacco at the beginning, and then a lot of bittersweet notes from the cacao, and then the lingering smokiness at the finish. Well, if you ate it very quickly, if your chocolates were really cold, you wouldn't be able to distinguish kind of those steps and layering of flavors. The other more important reason is to extend your shelf life. For truffles, we always tell people, put them in the fridge, always in a Ziploc bag, because chocolates are like a sponge. They absorb odors. So if you have fish or onions or garlic in there, you're going to have chocolates that end up tasting like that. Not intentionally, because we have done some pretty crazy things with chocolate, but and then always remove them about 30 minutes before. With molded chocolates or solid chocolate bars, our recommendation is to keep them in a cool, dry place away from direct sunlight or a heat source. Don't put them in the fridge, because not that it'll go bad, it's just that you'll tend to get little white spots on it, or they might get a little bit of that white film on it. So they won't look as pretty as they would have, you know, when you first purchased them.
What is that film? Because I've noticed it.
Yeah, it tends to be when the cocoa butter and the cacao solids are separating.
Oh, makes sense.
Sometimes it can be because the chocolate wasn't tempered properly, which again goes back to that separating of the cocoa butter and the solids. But that's what that's for.
We are just weeks away from so many reasons to celebrate, with Father's Day, graduation parties, and endless outdoor gatherings ahead of us. Now, when I celebrate outside, I like for everything to be as simple as possible, especially when I'm serving drinks, like my wine. So many of us love box wine, but what can we do to make it a little more elevated and a little bit more chic? Guys, I have the solution and I am obsessed with it. Bebly is a game changer for all wine lovers, and especially those who love box wine. No longer do you have to use a boring box that ruins your gorgeous tablescape. Bebly is meant to match your decor and be a countertop or bar accessory. With features like a double insulated wall, drip tray, carry grips for easy transport, it also comes with a 3-liter reusable bag and a stunning gold spigot. Anything that makes creating your tablescape a little bit more simple and effortlessly beautiful is something that I will always stand by. Head on over to the link in our show notes or bebly.com, bebly.com, and use code BEBLY20, BEBLY20, for 20% off your order and free shipping. Bebbly will change the way that you enjoy and serve your wine all season long. Well, you were recently named in 2023 Best Chocolatier and Confectioner. Confectioner?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And I've seen the word. I haven't really had to say it much. In the Americas, and obviously rightfully so, there are a ton of things that set you apart. But like we've referenced a few times, I would think what I notice is like your flavors, the flavors, right? Was that part of the award or was it not included?
So the award comprises your entire product profile. So we submit products under truffles, under toffee, under chocolate bars, and then across flavor profiles, spicy, vegan, white chocolate. And so it's really nice because it's not like you're winning an award for just one thing you do. I had to submit probably 150 different products into a competition across the entire year. And then they add up all your awards. So for in particular for 2023, we won 88 different awards. 20 of them were gold, 22 were silver across all of our product lines, which to me means that, you know, it's just showing that, you know, our mission is to, let me think how to phrase this.
No, it's good. I mean, we don't know about, I mean, we're still learning about chocolate. So educate us.
For Delicia, our mission is to push culinary boundaries and provide as highest quality product as possible out there. And so recognition across all of our products in so many different categories just shows that we are achieving what our ultimate mission is.
Absolutely. I want to just for a second let listeners know what some of these like crazy drool-worthy flavors are, just because I think it does really set you guys apart for many other reasons too, of course. But talk to me about some. I guess let's start with the Father's Day flavors because those were amongst the most unique and that's coming up the soonest. So tell us about those first and then we'll move on.
Okay. So for Father's Day and for any holiday, we release special limited edition collections. But in particular for Father's Day, we, from the very beginning at Delicia, wanted to have a masculine flavor profile. You know, so many chocolatiers target their marketing towards women, but there's 50% of the population that's left on the table. And so, for Father's Day, it started from there and then we built additional flavors. And Father's Day in particular, we have our Gentleman's Collection that is bittersweet chocolate, 72% infused with a 12-year aged scotch, a bittersweet chocolate truffle, and then the cigar truffle that I was describing earlier that has that little hint of smoke. Everybody always like cigars and chocolate. And I'm like, well, think about it. You know, wine, you have a little bit of smoky notes in wine or tobacco notes in wine. That's a very common flavor profile. And it's very similar in chocolate as well. And then we have a gift box that features that Gentleman's Collection along with our spirits collection with rum, scotch, and bourbon. And chocolate and alcohol and spirits are absolutely amazing together. You get this brilliant silky ganache, the center of the truffle. And it's just this like velvety texture on your tongue in rich dark chocolate. We also have our Taste of the South collection, which is available year round. It is our newest product. I love to tell a story through chocolate. So it's a Southern meal in chocolate. So your drink, your appetizers, your desserts, and your entrees. So flavors a mint julep, bourbon and mint infused into a dark chocolate, some of our savory flavors in that box. And we love savory, unique combinations with chocolate, a fried chicken truffle, a collard greens and bacon, a green chili queso truffle, in white chocolate. And then we have for dessert, our banana pudding and hummingbird cake truffles. So really unique flavor profile in that assortment.
What a cool gift that would be, you know, for someone who really identifies with that area or visited that area or something.
Or the foodie, like the adventurous foodie loves that assortment.
That's so fun. And again, so unique. That's like my word of this conversation. But hey, I mean, if it fits. So like I said, when I received the box, I think my listeners probably know this. I really appreciate and notice solid branding. I think good branding is good business. And so that was something that I recognized very quickly with you guys. And then of course, you know, the gifts that you sent in this box, I was picturing like any recipient receiving it. And it is so stunning. It's not just any box of chocolate. It's very beautifully wrapped and packaged and all of that. And then you open it and all of the chocolates themselves are works of art. And so, I mean, so just like incredibly designed. And then you get into the flavor and then forget it. You know, like all you really need is that incredible flavor, but all of these things are just like the cherries on top, the multiple cherries on top. So I want to encourage people to head on over to your website to buy boxes for themselves to try and to gift as we go into this. I mean, we have a lot of celebrations in the spring. There's holidays and graduations and Father's Day and baby shower, all these things. So where do you want to send people to get their own?
All of our products are available at delysia.com, D-E-L-Y-S-I-A.com. And they can also follow us on Instagram at delysia_chalk.
Amazing. Nice and easy. Well, was there anything else we missed or that you wanted to let people know about the brand or the journey?
So I actually cannot eat chocolate. I get migraines from it. And so I develop all of our flavors simply by smelling the ingredients and blending it into the chocolate and then smelling the ganache from there. And the ganache is the blend of the chocolate and cream. That's the center of the truffles, but I can't eat them. I simply use my sense of smell to create everything.
And so, you know, you hear of people with like dairy allergies that are like, oh, I'll snitch a piece of cheese here and there. Do you snitch or it's like strictly you do not?
I do not cheat. I learned the hard way when we were preparing for the Food and Wine Classic in Aspen, and we used to go every year, and I was developing 50 different flavors in one day and had no idea why I had this pounding migraine. And we finally were able to equate that back to, it probably has something to do with just the little taste I was taking. It wasn't like I was eating full truffles. I was just taking tiny little spoonfuls to see if the recipes were right. So the migraines come on almost immediately. So I've just developed the ability to be able to do it simply with my sense of smell.
Have you met any other chocolatiers in the fields that have that?
I have not.
I mean, like our senses are powerful, right? Like, right. You know, you hear like, I don't even know an example, a blind musician or like, you know, like I think people in the music industry, right? Like if one of your senses, like you're not using one of your senses for your career, like the other one's almost like gets stronger. Or, I don't know. Right. Is that a bad comparison?
When I tell people that, they always equate me to Beethoven of chocolate.
There you go. That's what I was getting at.
I think your other senses probably do become stronger. I also think you can train your senses. You know, when we do tastings, we tell people to slow down and to involve all of their senses in the tasting, look, you know, smell, taste, touch. And smell is the one that usually confuses people the most, because they're like, I don't smell anything when I cook, you know, I don't pay attention to it. And I always tell people, well, the next time you're baking something or you're making dinner, like stop before you add that oregano or that cinnamon and just experience what that herb or what that ingredient smells like. And you'll be able to fine tune your senses that way.
Wow. Wow. I'm trying to think of experiences I've had like in the culinary world where I've had to smell, definitely like coffee tastings.
Right.
There was a lot of like sniffing, which was very unique.
Tasting is probably what most people are familiar with. But you see the sommeliers, they're like, I can taste or I can smell or taste, you know, a hint of this or a hint of that in the wine. And
yeah,
you know, if you're not a connoisseur or trained in that way, you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And chocolate's kind of that same way, but you can train yourself as well to pick
clearly
up
has this. Worked for you and sets you apart, you know? So
well, thank you.
Gift, another gift in disguise. And then how about, I know we quickly were talking about the summer flavors. What do you want people to know about the flavors that are coming?
As I mentioned, we try to launch and create a new collection for every season. So upcoming this summer, of course, we have 4th of July that is on the horizon. So we have a unique box that we will be releasing for that. That includes a roasted corn with cayenne flavor in it. That will be one of the truffle flavors. And then our summer fun collection is everything from mint chocolate chip ice cream to raspberries and mangoes infused into chocolate. So we love to play with, wow, with florals and herbs and spices and fruits and chocolate to give you a little bit of unique flavor profile in each truffle.
How fun. Oh my gosh. It's so fun. I'm sure there's a more sophisticated word to use than that, but as we're talking about summer fun, it's appropriate. Well, we end each conversation with the same three questions, and I would love to hear your thoughts on them as well, or your answers. The first one is something you have eaten recently and loved.
So these are probably the hardest questions out of all of them.
No way. That's
they are. So, I have gluten allergies. So
me too.
It's rough. And it adds complication, especially when you're a foodie that loves so much to eat. So it's why 85% of our products are actually gluten-free.
Yeah. Cause so much of chocolate isn't.
Exactly.
The coating. People don't realize that.
That is very true. People actually don't realize also that the chocolate chips that you can buy at the grocery store that are for your chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about why they maintain their round shape, their chocolate chip shape when you bake them?
Tell me, no.
Because they have flour and stabilizers in them. So people think it's chocolate. It's fine to use. You know, it's not going to bother me if I have gluten allergies, but they actually have flour in them. And that's why they maintain their shape. Yes.
Yikes.
So what have I eaten recently and loved? I cook a ton at home. Mm-hmm. And my husband's mother was an absolute amazing cook. And she cooked Indian food all the time. And it has been, I've tried for years. She unfortunately isn't with us any longer, but I tried for years to learn from her. And much like my Italian relatives were like, oh, just a little bit of this and a little bit of that in that recipe. It doesn't work quite that well with Indian spices, but that's how she cooked. So mutter paneer is one of my family's absolute favorites. And probably the thing I am absolute proudest to figure out how to make. It has paneer. It's like cheese cubes in this tomato based sauce. So that's probably the most amazing thing that I have eaten and cooked recently. And of course, you know, it all comes down to how everybody enjoys. My kids will ask for it weekly. And I'm like, that's a really intense meal to make every week.
Oh, that's amazing. When you master a dish outside of your culture, you know, it's a huge accomplishment.
It is. Yeah. It is. 20 I years of marriage trying to figure it out. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay. This is a little bit of a lighter question, but something you've discovered recently that you think everyone should know about. It could be an Amazon purchase, a TV show, anything like that.
Pomegranate seeds, dried pomegranate seeds are the absolute most amazing thing ever. They're like crunchy. They have a nice tartness. I would put them in everything if I could. They're great on like salads. You'll see them a lot in Indian cooking and also in Middle Eastern cooking where they use it as a topping, but they're crunchy and they're tart. And we've started putting it in a lot of our chocolate flavors because if I could put it in every recipe, I would, but that would be a little overkill.
So when you say dried, it's not like chewy. It's not like chewy dried fruit. Is it freeze dried?
I don't know. I don't know how they make them, but whatever they do, it becomes crunchy little like concentrated flavors of pomegranate. So they're not chewy. They're nice and crunchy, and you can find them at, you know, international food stores.
Amazing. Gosh, you would think that would be more common, but I for sure have not heard of it. Yeah, that's a great answer. That's a really, really good answer. There's been a lot of like Netflix new release shows for that answer lately. So
okay,
I'll take a pomegranate seed. And then a little bit deeper, but I love hearing the responses to this question. A gathering you attended that made you feel a strong sense of belonging. And if you could pinpoint it, what it was that made you feel that way.
This is probably the toughest question. I have a business and two kids and a husband, and my social life is like nothing, but
it could be family. It could be anything. Yeah. Is the Aspen Food and Wine Festival like a sense of community?
It is, you know, that's probably the one that comes to mind the most, the Food and Wine Classic in Aspen. I remember, funny story, I remember that was when we first started the business in 2008. That was like my goal. I was like, I want to go to the Food and Wine Classic. That's like the creme de creme of food and wine events. And my husband was like, okay. And so I reached out to the organizers and they're like, yeah, go ahead, send in your application. This, we were maybe 2 years in business. And they said, it usually takes most small businesses about 5 years to get accepted. So my husband's like, okay, we got 5 years to figure this out because we struggle trying to do an event down the street, let alone, you know, three states away. We got an application. We got accepted that year.
Wow. Wow.
And we did it for up until the pandemic. So we did it for about 6 years, and there words can't even describe it. I mean, you were with other foodies, other aficionados that are just so excited, so appreciative of what you're doing, like so open-minded to trying new foods and new experiences. I mean, we went there with a cricket bark infused with farm-raised crickets from raised right here in Austin in dark chocolate, and people just loved it. Or watching the executive chefs from some of the most famous restaurant chains out there stand around and egg each other on, you know, grown men egging each other on to try ghost pepper infused chocolate to see who could handle the heat. So just that camaraderie and that feeling, that support, it is amazing. And kind of makes you feel as a business owner and a small business owner, because it's not easy to have a small business. I don't play with chocolate all day long. There's a lot of paperwork that makes it not so fun. You know, it makes you feel like this is worth it. This is why we're doing this. This is that look of joy and excitement on people's faces. You know, that at the end of the day is why we create and do our craft that we do.
Yeah. That similar answers have come up to that. And I love it. And I wanted to stop and actually talk to the listener who's like, okay, that's great, but I'm not going to be a vendor at the Aspen like Food and Wine Festival. You know, like how do I find that community? Cause like everything we do is I'm trying to help people connect to meaningful community and meaningful connection, no matter what. Maybe you're an engineer, maybe you join a local engineer conference, or like you might know what's available better than me, but you know, there are groups available that will give you that same kind of sense of being understood and belonging and being able to contribute and being inspired. It's not just in these food industries, like when I'm talking to other creatives, but it's so important for us to all have that. And even like I recently, within the last, oh my gosh, almost 2 years, joined a group of like entrepreneurs and creatives. And we have these retreats a few times a year, and it has really helped my career and kept me going when I wanted to quit and all these different things. So it's important as adults, like to have fun with our craft a little bit and pursue your dreams and be around people that understand you. So I love that.
Absolutely. And I don't even think you have to join a group or a club or an organization for that. I mean, even when we have that amazing experiences in Aspen, but even the individual that walks into our culinary center here in Austin and is excited or asks us questions and wants to understand what it is that we do and know more and become more educated, like that to us has that same feeling. So supporting, you know, the small businesses, whether it's a food purveyor like myself or your local restaurants, you know, getting to know them and feeling like you're part of that family, it can give you that feeling of kind of that bond.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's really good. It's really rich. Well, we told everyone where we want them to go visit. We will include all of that and more in the show notes. But thank you so much. This was really like informative and really fun. And
oh, thank you.
Yeah, I think people are gonna ask for more.
Awesome. We would love that.
Well, guys, thank you so much. We will see you next week.